Karmani, material fruitive activities. Arabhate begins. Dehi, a living entity who has accepted a particular type of body. Dehina, with that body. Atmanuvartina, which is received according to his desire. And past activities. Karma B, by such material activities. Tanute, he expands. Deham, another body. Ubhayam, both of them. Tu, indeed. Avivekata, due to ignorance. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The living entity who has received his present body because of his past fruitive activity may end the results of his actions in this life, but this does not mean that he is liberated from bondage to material bodies. The living entity receives one type of body, and by performing actions with that body, he creates another. Thus he transmigrates from one body to another through repeated birth and death because of his gross ignorance.
Purport. The living entity's evolution through different types of bodies is conducted automatically by the laws of nature in bodies other than those of human beings. In other words, by the laws of nature, the living entity evolved from lower grades of life to human form. Because it has developed consciousness, however, the human being must understand the constitutional position of a living entity and understand why he must accept a material body. This chance is given to him by nature, but if he nonetheless acts like an animal, what is the benefit of his human life? In this life, one must select the goal of life and act accordingly. Having received instructions from the spiritual master and the shastras, one must be sufficiently intelligent. In the human form of life, one should not remain foolish and ignorant, but must inquire about his constitutional position. This is called atato dhamma jignasa. The human psychology gives rise to many questions, which various philosophers have considered and answered with various types of philosophy based on mental concoctions. This is not the way of liberation. The Vedic instruction says, tad-vijñātam sadguru eva-vigate. To solve the problems of life, one must accept a spiritual master. Tasmai guru pavadye tad-vijñāsu sayamistama. If one is actually serious in inquiring about the solution to material existence, one must approach a bona fide guru. Tad-vijñi panipatena pariprasthena seva upadekshantite jñānam janina-sattva-dārśana. Just try to learn the truth by approaching a spiritual master. Inquire from him submissively and render service unto him. The self-realized soul can impart knowledge unto you because he has seen the truth. Bhagavad Gita 4:34. One must approach a bona fide spiritual master by surrendering himself, pranipatena, and rendering service. An intelligent person must inquire from the spiritual master about the goal of life. A bona fide spiritual master can answer all such questions because he has seen the real truth. Even in ordinary activities, we first consider gain and loss, and then we act. Similarly, an intelligent person must consider the entire process of material existence and then act intelligently, following the directions of the bona fide spiritual master.
Om Jnana Timurandasya Gena Jana Shalakaya Chakshush Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah. Because of his developed consciousness, the human being must understand the constitutional position and understand why he must accept a material body. This chance is given to him by nature, but if he acts like an animal, what is the benefit of human life? The human life means that we're in the same predicament as the animals. We are about to be slaughtered in this material life, and then we will have to take another birth by force. We've come here, and we'll be forced out. You cannot stop your death. And everything is under the control of the material nature. Only a fool thinks that he is in control. So our position is the same. But the human being is different than the animal because he can save himself from this impending doom. Just like here in these mountains, all night we heard the roosters. And it's everywhere. Everyone has chickens. So sometimes because they're a little poor, they don't have some big interment. And the chickens are just running here and there. Although they're captive, and after a few eggs, they're meant to be slaughtered by the owner. And they don't know enough that they should run away. One time when Srila Prabhupada went to Hawaii, he was next to some person who was also keeping chickens in the same way that the chickens could have escaped. He said, but actually we hear the rooster is crying. A cock-a-doodle-doo. He's actually crying. A cock-a-doodle-doo. Come cut my throat. Why is he staying there? Proudly crowing, now you can come and kill me. I will wait. It's observed even that animals who are at the very slaughterhouse and waiting in line to be slaughtered, sometimes they are just standing, chewing, or they're even engaging in sex life. The one in front of them is being killed and they're like that. That's because they're animals. And if you go up to the chicken, and signal to him, you go away. This man will kill you. He'll not go away. This is the animal life. Similarly, the pigs. It's also popular here to keep pigs. Feed the pig garbage and eat the pig. But that pig, he does not want to be killed. But he doesn't know. Just like when Indra became a pig, he lost his intelligence that he was the king of heaven. He was punished to be a pig. And when time for, when his liberation from that condition came, he would not listen. He said, come now, Indra, you're not actually a pig. You're the demigod of heaven. This period of punishment is over. Come back now. No, he said, I have to remain here. I have many responsibilities, and I have piglets dependent on me. I cannot go. Become a big demigod. So this means, first of all, that the animal, chicken, has no sense to save himself, and also that the animal, chicken or pig, is not actually a pig. He's a spirit soul, but he's covered over and forgets that he's a spirit soul. So the human being also forgets. He's also being penned in for slaughter. This whole world is like that. Sometimes animals are kept in some so-called natural surroundings because it's not so pleasant for people to look at them just within a 5x5 cell with heavy bars. So they put them in some so-called natural surrounding, and the animal appears to be running freely. But actually, you get to the edge and he can't go. Either there's some big cliff or there's, again, electric wires. So we are running freely within this material world, but it is actually not like that. Just like a cow sometimes has a long length of rope. You can run and run, but then the rope ends and is attached to his nose or the bull. In this way, we are all caught by our karma and by these bodies and by the material nature. And just as animals are sometimes treated nicely in terms of feeding them, fattening them, Here, take nicely. And give the animal abundant food. Why? Just to stuff him up, to kill him. So Maya is doing the same thing. It is a different control. But actually everyone is a prisoner. Like the intelligent state can keep prisoners by mind control, by propaganda, or by bars. The people in the city, they live in their apartments and then they go to work on the subway. So the whole thing is a hellish arrangement. Who could keep them there? If some person with objective intelligence came from another planet and saw this, what is forcing these people to live like this, to go to that office and go to that factory and then come back? Well, they're getting pay and they're thinking that they're free. It is all a subtle imprisonment. They are also prisoners. Everyone is a prisoner. And this material nature is fattening everyone up for death. But these are not exaggerated metaphors. There's exact position. We are by this sense enjoyment in one variety or another. Either you're living in a city under that complete misconception of happiness that, yes, I'm working day and night, but then I can go to the movies, then I can go see my girlfriend. I can get a lot of money. Or if you're living in the country and you're thinking, I'm glad I'm out of the city, this is very peaceful, how nice everything is, you're still being in some way fattened up by the material nature for your ultimate slaughter. That means death. Therefore, it is good to be dissatisfied in the human form of life. This is a sign of a human being. He's dissatisfied. This is useless activity. Working for these nonsense things or trying to enjoy material comforts. I'm just growing old and dying and everything will be finished. And all these attempts to better the conditions individually or internationally, what good are they? Very dissatisfied, that's good. Because then he will inquire into some satisfaction beyond this. Whether there is relief from these problems, this is the question. And therefore one goes to a spiritual master, just like Sanatan Goswami. Before he was Sanatan, he approached Lord Chaitanya and he put himself like that. And that people say that I am a very learned man, but I don't even know who I am. So I can see that I have wasted my life. Need jati, need sangipatita adhama, kuvishaya, kupipade, goinainu janama. I think I have wasted my whole life. So, is there a way that I can become relieved of suffering? This is the business of the disciple approaching the spiritual master. Atato brahmajnyasa. Now, I've come to you because I understand that you have knowledge to free me from this death-bound existence. We have to come to this point. But this merciful movement of Lord Chaitanya is so nice that the pure devotees come, and even before we are actually prepared to go to the spiritual master, they come to us and take us out of material life by the Sankirtan. Still, we have to have a little Shraddha to take to this Krishna consciousness when it comes to us. So this hearing, the devotees go on hearing, is actually meant for us. These descriptions of the material world and the spiritual world, they can ultimately only be understood by one who's already a devotee. So why? Why should we hear it again and again? because it is not enough that we have accepted these things, but we have to become 100% committed to getting ourselves out of this material world. That is also an obligation to our spiritual master. We are not salvationists, but we want to please the spiritual master and become successful. And he will be proven successful if his disciples get out of the material world and go back to Godhead. Once Srila Prabhupada was talking with one man about how Kali Yuga would be in the future. So horrible. And the man said, "And what about your disciples? Where will they be?" He said, "Oh, they will be with Krishna. They will not be here." So we are not meant to rot in this material world. Stay here and preach. Like Prahlad Maharaj said, "I don't want to go back to Godhead, leaving them here." So, preach Krishna consciousness, but become liberated from this material world. Otherwise, how can you preach? Say to someone, "Here, you take to this Krishna consciousness, and you will be liberated. You won't have to be born again into this material world." They say, "Oh, that sounds very wonderful. And so you are a devotee of this movement?" "Yes, you please, here, take one of these books, and you also." "So what about," then he may ask, "what about you? Are you going back to Godhead?" "No, I'm not going back to Godhead." Then, how will one want to take it? If those who are already following it, they're advising that you go back to Godhead, but they're not going. Prabhupada described this as that becomes like exporting business. The man stays in the country, he exports goods, but he doesn't go there. That's not a position to simply export souls back to Godhead while we remain here. We may remain here by Krishna's desire, but we have to be liberated even if we remain here. And ultimately Krishna will take us back. So we have, it's called Jivan Mukta. He's in the position of Jiva, but he's liberated. And that's done by immersing ourselves 100% in this Krishna consciousness. We've been given a process whereby every minute of the day we can be in a liberated state. From morning to night, as soon as we rise, we're chanting, bathing, hearing, seeing the Lord, the deity, talking about Krishna, then preparing for our service. There's no time, there's no activity which is an odd moment that is not covered by Krishna consciousness process. This is very wonderful. Some people, they have maybe dabbled in some bogus yoga system or some other form of life in terms of welfare work, but it's always just something that can occupy only part of your consciousness or part of your body or part of your being. And then there's a little time for sense gratification. But Krishna consciousness completely encompasses us every minute of the day. So either you take part in it, or you don't. Take part in it and you become liberated and you become qualified. Refrain and you're mixed and you're prone to fall down. So then we have to consider, why aren't I not 100%? What am I gaining by coming to Krishna consciousness and externally giving up this material life and still hankering for it, or trying to find a little opportunity not to be a devotee? Is this very foolish? Therefore, we have to continually hear that unless we take to this 100%, this horrible fate is there as a possibility. To live again and again in this complete degraded condition of the animal species. It's only a brief second in terms of time that we are now enjoying this luxury of the senses and the human form of life. The big animal who kills all the other animals. Jiva jiva to jivanam. One animal lives at the expense of another. You watch the lizard. He keeps himself so motionless. He's simply waiting for some moth or something to come and then leap and eat him. And someone is waiting for the lizard. So it's horrible existence. Especially for the animal. Only thinking in anxiety of eating and mating and sleeping and defending is not happiness, is not happy life. Even the trees, they're suffering. One time Srila Prabhupada was explaining the position of trees to us in a big garden in Australia. So many varieties of trees. And he said that the tree is the worst suffering condition. He has a very low consciousness, so he's able to endure it. But it's still horrible. Sometimes when we get sick, our consciousness gets very low, and so we're able to endure something. But we know it's not our natural, happy, enjoyable life. In a drugged, semi-conscious, sick state. That is horrible. Loss. And so the trees are like that. They stand in the rain. People come and commit all kinds of nuisance upon them. They're cut down, cut up, and stand in the sun and stand in the wind and the rain. And never sit down. It's compared to, again, Srila Prabhupada in his school days, he said they would, if the children were naughty, they would be punished. All right, stand up on the bench. Maybe sometimes you had to stand in the corner. So he, in his school, they had to stand up on the bench. So the bad student would have to stand. And after a while, after an hour, he's not liking to keep standing. But that was the punishment. So the tree, he has to stand up. He's a living being from his past life. Generally means lusty. Like to run around naked. So now you be naked and you stand up. It was punishment. You can have, it says desire and karma. So the desire is you want to be naked. All right, you remain naked all the time. But punishment is you stand up. Stand on the bench for 200 years. So there's suffering, but he said, but because Krishna is directing, it becomes a beautiful arrangement. Even when something is suffering, at least we see it like that. It is a beautiful arrangement. But we can't forget what the material life is. Jiva jiva sa jivanam. So what is this luxury of a few seconds, that we're living in a part of the world where even the human beings are a little peaceable by political arrangement, that they have facilities to indulge in their sense gratification without too much interruption? So they think, let everything else go to hell. But because of that attitude, you'll have to suffer after this spot is gone, finished, this spotlight. Then you have to take another spotlight. And for all the animals that you've eaten, and for all the suffering that you've caused to others, you will have to live it out. This is what's going on as we lose time, minute after minute. So the Chanaka Pandit said, if you lose a minute and you cannot get it back, even for all the gold you could amass, if suddenly you realize, oh, I wasted that time. I wasted that day. I wasted that hour. Please bring it back again. I want to replay it over again. I want to do it again. The right way. No, sorry. It's time. You cannot turn back time. Oh, but I'm very rich. I can turn back time. No. It doesn't matter how rich you are. Every minute lost like that may implicate us either in falling down or in not reaching the goal in the short amount of time we have. So our consciousness should be awareness that we are not mature devotees, and then awareness that one may think, I'm not mature, but after all, I'm only 20 years old. So I've got a long time before I become mature. Oh, where is that guarantee? That because you're 20, you have 60 years to live or 50 years to live. Nobody dies at 20. So you're not mature, and at any minute, it may decide, all right, that's all you've got. But I haven't matured. Yes, but your life was meant to be only 20 years old. You didn't know it, but it was. You'd already become an old man. You should have matured by now. Well, how was I to know? This is the foolish gambling. You're to know because you have a material body. You may leave at any minute, and you have to become Krishna conscious. Don't gamble. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, Komara Machalat Padya. Now that we're children, this is the time for Krishna consciousness. Now that we're young, we can do something for Krishna. This is very nice. Again, we have no Vedic credit for our study of the Vedas. Most of us have come to Krishna consciousness too late to become Sanskrit scholars, which is supposed to begin 5 years old, 6 years old. And our bodies, someone was saying, I took so many drugs, I cannot remember things. These things may be facts. And we have so many impressions on our mind from sinful activities. Then at least I'm young, let me use this body for Krishna. I've got some strength, I've got some endurance. I can do something. So be very active in preaching. We needn't coddle this body. Use it for Krishna's service. Say, Krishna, please accept this offering. I'm so unqualified. I have a little strength. So let me engage in your service. Please accept my devotional service. And Krishna will accept it. If we're sincere and we engage our body, mind, and words, He will accept us and we will become free of the fear of repeated birth and death. But we must give up sense gratification and surrender. So when is the reading of the deities? 7:15? Time now. Okay. All glories to Prabhupada.